Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, where any moment now, President Trump is due to give his first remarks since commenting initially on the election last week. But it would be his first remarks in more than a week. And he's going to be talking about the coronavirus and the vaccine that has been developed, which is, of course, a remarkable development. He will undoubtedly speak very proudly of what has happened. And there are fascinating details about the development of this vaccine over by Pfizer in their facilities in Germany. And the vaccine was not developed by Germans. It was developed by a husband and wife couple from, well, we will get to that. We will also be talking about what exactly went wrong with the polls, because it's an enormously important issue. And what kind of mandate, Nancy Pelosi said today, that there is a terrific mandate for Joe Biden and for Kamala Harris and for the Democrats in Congress. Actually, it was at her press conference yesterday. And here is what Speaker Pelosi had to say. This would be cut five, Jeremy, about the nature of what she presumes Americans were saying when they cast their votes. Listen.
That what Joe Biden got in this election was a mandate to address the challenges that our country faces, as well as to have a positive initiative on how to grow the economy in a fair way. And in order to do that, we must address the COVID, the pandemic.
Okay, what is the mandate that he supposedly won? There is a fine piece by a liberal with NBC News basically saying Biden defeated Trump, but Democrats didn't win a mandate. They ignore that at their peril. A mandate is what Ronald Reagan won. When he ran for office, everybody knew that he was running with a promise of reducing government, building up America's military, having a more forthright, more forceful stand against the Soviet Union and the evil empire, and building up our military. That was his mandate, and he followed through on it. What happens many times is people either mistake their victory for some kind of mandate that doesn't exist, or they don't have any mandate in particular. I know that Joe Biden ran on the position that he was going to help unite the country. But is that a specific mandate on any specific issue? And how do you actually measure your success or failure in doing that? Well, it has to do with mood. And it has to do with emotions and perceptions. But it's very, very tough to say, well, there is a clear mandate to go in this direction or in that direction. Is this a progressive victory? Is it a moderate victory? Is it a centrist victory? Is it a far-left victory? And is it even that much of a victory if you take the full voting age percent, given the fact that even though it was a historically high turnout, Biden got about 32% of all of the available voters. Now, he got 51% of those people who actually voted. And he is going to have, it could be by the time it's done, 80 million votes and way ahead of where President Trump is. Okay, fine. But what did all those folks vote for? And this commentator on NBC, and we'll talk about this with Professor Paul Kengor of Grove City College, says the problem here is there really is no mandate. And so does that give Republicans, assuming we hold the Senate, a chance to actually not just cooperate, but maybe even to lead. We will get to that issue a little bit later this hour. But I was mentioning before the break that I think it's a very positive development that the New York Times acknowledges that we have a problem with polling. And I know there's so many people who are just fed up with polling in general that they're ready to say, what do we need it for? Well, we do need it because in between elections, and God knows we have plenty of elections, we have local elections, we have midterm elections, we have elections for state legislature, we have elections all the time going on somewhere. And they write at the front page of the New York Times, there's a great piece by David Leonhardt. And the headline is Wrong Again, How Polls Misread 2020 Voters. And the subheading is A Field is Forced to Rethink Its Ways of Gauging Opinion. And he writes, for the second straight presidential election, the polling industry missed the mark. The miss was not as blatant as in 2016 when polls suggested Mr. Trump would lose, nor was the miss as large as it appeared it might be on election night. Once all the votes are counted, the polls will have correctly pointed to the winner of the presidential campaign in 48 states. There are only two states where they actually said that Biden was going to win, but Trump won. But he goes on. He says they correctly called the outcome in all states but Florida, where Trump was supposed to win, that's 29 electoral votes, and North Carolina, where Trump just did win. He has just been declared the winner in North Carolina. And they correctly signaled that Mr. Biden would win. But this year's problem is still alarming, both to people inside the polling industry and to the millions of Americans who follow presidential polls with a passion once reserved for stock prices, sports scores, and lottery numbers. The misses are especially vexing because pollsters spent much of the last 4 years trying to fix the central problem of 2016, the underestimation of the Republican vote in multiple states, and they failed. They failed because they did the same thing again. There's virtually nowhere where the polling underestimated the support for Biden. They overestimated the support for Biden and underestimated the support for Trump. Now, why'd they do that? And there are two things that you hear commonly. I mean, before people think about it, people say, well, okay, these pollsters are all liberals. They all work for liberal organizations. First of all, that's not true. Rasmussen is a Republican, and it's a Republican poll. The Trafalgar Group, which also didn't have such a great record this last time, they overestimated for Trump. They were sort of the exception. But it's true. Most of the pollsters lean to the left. But the thought that they deliberately want to skew a poll, that they want to show a stronger support for Democrats than actually exists, why? Because that means you're not going to get jobs anymore. See, all of these polling organizations live on their accuracy because they all work in between elections for corporations and other special interests that want to gauge American opinion. And if you're 7 points wrong on a presidential election in a particular state, that kills your credibility. You're not going to do well. The other point about the polling that everyone brings up is the shy Trumper, that there are people out there who know all along, I'm going to vote for Trump, I'm going to vote for Trump, but they don't want to say anything to anybody because they're afraid people will disapprove. Well, the reason we know that that is not a big factor here is because the same weighting toward Democrats and away from Trump occurred in states like Alabama and West Virginia, where almost everybody else is voting for Trump. Wyoming, Biden got only 26% of the vote. So what is going on? What are the reasons for the problems, and what will they do about it? We'll get to that coming up on the MedVet Show. Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com. They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com, or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to acsh.org today.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We are looking forward to President Trump stepping up to the podium. I believe he is going to be in the White House briefing room and speaking for the first time in a week. Since he made a controversial, I think it's fair to say, statement the day after the election, And he is still officially signaling to his supporters and to true believers everywhere that he has won and that he will win. The path to victory today, with the last remaining three states having been called, it's very clear who got the most votes in all three of those states. President Trump got the most votes in North Carolina, and Joe Biden got the most votes in Georgia and Arizona. Two states that Democrats haven't carried for a long time. The states, however, did not go the way the pollsters suggested. The states went that way in the direction of Joe Biden, but often by very narrow margins. And you can see this in state after state after state. So the question is, what is it that gives a much stronger push to Democratic candidates? And the answer is because right now people who are Democrats, or at least leaning Democratic, are just much more likely to talk to pollsters. This all has to do with that ongoing alienation that media, I think, have promoted, alienation of a right-wing audience, alienation of people who are more conservative. Because for a very typical conservative, and I don't know if you know people like this, maybe you are people like this. I think a lot of you are. I know I am. If somebody calls up and says, I want to take a survey, I don't like it, I don't trust it, and I hang up. I'm sorry, I do.
Please hang up and try your call again.
No, it's ridiculous. And by the way, a lot of these surveys aren't even really political surveys. This is something that both campaigns do regularly. They say, we want to take a survey. We are from the Trump campaign. Do you want America to erase its borders, tear down the border wall, allow an invasion of illegal aliens, and have crime go up in every major city, and sanctuary cities established everywhere? Do you support that, or do you support a strong America First agenda? Now, this is not a legit. And by the way, the other side does it too. The other side will say, well, do you want to see a complete takeover by the dreaded religious right? Do you want to see guns in every home required? Do you want to see great economic injustice and taking from the poor to give to the rich? And, okay, what they're trying to do is to figure out where you stand so they can then either later hit you up for money or make sure that you turn out to vote. In other words, in order to have a get-out-the-vote effort, you have to have some kind of indication of who's on your side. And sometimes they do kind of phony polls in every campaign of that nature. But if it's a legit poll where they're trying to do this to either help one campaign or another, or very likely, because there's so many of them, to feed a constantly curious press. And David Leonhard is right. People follow this polling very intensely. I mean, I found myself in the height of the campaign, the last 3 weeks of the campaign, checking 538 every day, and that have the most recent poll information. And you check RCP, the Real Clear Politics, and they have the new polls posted up there. And I've talked to you about it because it's kind of like keeping score inning by inning. And, of course, none of it matters until the game is over. And it's not a game. It's actually depending. Our future depends on it. But the basic point that I'm making is I think the reason that polls tend out to be slanted to the right is last time, slanted to the left is the way they are slanted, is the last time out they recognized that they had undersampled one particular group, which was white men without college degrees. Because white men without college degrees, I think, are particularly suspicious of media and particularly unwilling to give some time and effort and energy to talk to a pollster. None of your business. Leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered with this. Now, the question they ask here, and I thought this was fascinating and it was probably very true, which was, okay, it used to be they always allotted for people like that, but they assumed they had no ideological bias. In other words, generally, there would be white men with a college degree, and they just want to make sure in correcting these polls that they have people who check off that box. They did that this time. But they still don't recognize that, in other words, the white men without a college degree that they found who are more willing to speak to a pollster are precisely those people who are more likely to be liberal. Not this guy who has just gone up to the podium. He is the president of the United States. Let's listen in.
In U.S. history, pioneering, developing, and manufacturing therapies and vaccines in record time, numbers like nobody's seen before. No medical breakthrough of this scope and magnitude has ever been achieved this rapidly, this quickly, and we're very proud of it, and I had tremendous help from the military, generals, admirals, and many of the great people at the White House. Operation Warp Speed is unequaled and unrivaled anywhere in the world, and the leaders of other countries have called me to congratulate us on what we've been able to do, and we've helped many countries with their ventilators and all of the problems they were having, and I'd like to congratulate everyone involved in this effort. It's been an incredible effort. As a result of Operation Warp Speed, Pfizer announced on Monday that its China virus vaccine is more than 90% effective. This far exceeds any and all expectations. Nobody thought they'd get to that level. And we have others coming which we think will be at equal level, maybe more if that's possible. In July, my administration reached an agreement with Pfizer to provide $1.95 billion to support the mass manufacturing and distribution of 100 million doses, with the option to purchase a total of 600 million doses shortly thereafter. Our investment will make it possible for the vaccine to be provided by Pfizer free of charge. Pfizer said it wasn't part of Warp Speed, but that turned out to be a unfortunate misrepresentation. They are part. That's why we gave them the $1.95 billion, and it was an unfortunate mistake that they made when they said that. We will work to secure an emergency use authorization, which should be coming down extremely soon. And my administration will then coordinate the distribution of the vaccine, and it will be approved. I think, again, it will be approved very, very quickly, we hope. The average development timeline for the vaccine, including clinical tests and manufacturing, can take 8 to 12 years. Through Operation Warp Speed, we're doing it in less than 1 year. If you had a different administration with different people, what we've done would have taken, in my opinion, 3, 4, 5 years, and it would have.
That's the President of the United States. We're not censoring him. We are under a pre-scheduled break. We will be right back with the conclusion of President Trump's remarks, and if he takes any questions, we'll hear them coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is again pushing for an aggressive stimulus package as coronavirus cases continue to increase across the United States.
Our focus in the Congress continues to be on COVID relief. This is a red alert, all hands on deck.
Jim Jeffrey, the United States' retiring special representative to Syria and the special envoy in the fight against ISIS, confirmed on Thursday that he and other senior administration administration officials routinely misled President Trump on troop levels in the Middle East. Jeffrey, speaking to Defense One, explained how, although President Trump's stated promise was to withdraw American troops from the Middle East, he was able to convince the president to commit to keeping between 200 and 400 troops in the region in 2019 to secure oil fields held by U.S. allies. You're listening to USA Radio News.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a five-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym visits down from three times a week to once a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to three times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowwhey.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
And on the Michael Medved Show, the president is doing a victory lap regarding not the election of last week, but regarding something equally important, one could say, which is the rapid development of the, under Operation Warp Speed, of a COVID-19 vaccine. Here's the president at the White House.
PP, almost immediately upon request, every American who needed a ventilator has had access to a ventilator. Think of that. Very complicated piece of equipment, very expensive. And we haven't had one person in this whole country that has requested or needed a ventilator that hasn't had it. Every single request has been immediately filled. So that was something that was a great job. And now we're helping the rest of the world with ventilators because it's a very hard thing. We're producing them thousands of ventilators a month. The federal government has 22,000 beds immediately available for states and jurisdictions that need additional capacity, but we think that it's going to start going down possibly very quickly. We'll see what happens, but with the vaccine, you'll see numbers going down within a matter of months, and it'll go down very rapidly. As we continue to combat the virus, our economy is rebounding far beyond any expectations. I see the stock market's up almost 400 points today again, and it's ready to break the all-time record. Our jobs records are incredible. The job numbers are incredible. In the last 6 months, we've created over 13 million jobs and slashed the unemployment rate by more than half. Last quarter, we witnessed the fastest economic growth ever recorded in the history of our country, 33.1%. It's a number that is more than double our highest. That was in 1952, and we've more than doubled it. The United States experienced the smallest economic contraction and the most rapid economic recovery of any major Western nation. We went down less, and we went up more, which is quite a combination of facts. While healthy Americans have gone back to work and to school, we continue to spare no expense to protect the elderly and the vulnerable. according to some estimates, a national lockdown costs $50 billion a day and hundreds of thousands of jobs every single day. Ideally, we won't go to a lockdown. I will not go. This administration will not be going to a lockdown. Hopefully, whatever happens in the future, who knows which administration it will be. I guess time will tell. But I can tell you this administration will not go to a lockdown. There won't be necessity. Lockdowns cost lives, and they cost a lot of problems. The cure cannot be, you got to remember, cannot be worse than the problem itself. And I've said it many times. And when you look at what happens during a lockdown, I just say it very loudly. It's horrible what happens with drugs, alcohol, depression, loss of jobs, business closures. It's a terrible thing. So this administration will not go, under any circumstances, will not go to a lockdown, but will be very vigilant, very careful. We understand the disease. It's a complicated disease, but we understand it very well. We ask all Americans to remain vigilant, especially as the weather gets colder and it becomes more difficult to go outside and to have outside gatherings. And with that, I just want to ask some very talented people to come up and say a few words. General Perna and Dr. Slawi have been incredible. The general is really getting started right now, but he's really what we don't know and what people don't know. He started putting this all together 6 months ago, and you're going to see some real action. So, General, maybe you'll start it off, and then, Doctor, you'll go right after that. Thank you very much, and then we're going to finish it off with Mike Pence. Okay? Thank you. Please.
Okay. It looks like the president is not going to take questions. And, of course, the most questionable thing of his presentation, and it's great to see him reveling in good news. And everybody should congratulate the president on some of his achievements in office. And, again, I think it would be a good idea for President-elect Biden to do that. But it is ridiculous, and it is, frankly, irresponsible at this time to say there'll be no lockdown under this administration and there should be no lockdown on whatever happens next. I think that's what he said. He was about to say on the next administration. He didn't even want to say that, or the new administration. He is conveying the idea to many Americans who actually hang on his every word that the election isn't settled. And it is. And again, this is the whole idea of alternate facts, which got President Trump in trouble when he was arguing about the size of his inauguration crowd. And it would be so much better for him, for the country, for the world, for dealing with the coronavirus, to actually put together an effective transition. They brought out people from the Obama team who were just praising to the skies how great President Bush was. Now, President Bush was attacked, I mean, relentlessly by Barack Obama, who was running at a time of economic panic, and it was a very, very difficult environment for any Republican to win on. And the candidate, John McCain, paid the price. And yet, George Bush, immediately after the election, in fact, on election night, started meeting with, working with the Obama team to make a smooth transfer. The some news bulletins. More Republicans and their allies have begun acknowledging Biden's victory, including Governor Mike DeWine of Ohio, a state, by the way, that Trump won big time. The Veteran Party operative Karl Rove in the Wall Street Journal, and the editorial board, and this is interesting, the Las Vegas Review Journal, and that's interesting because that's a newspaper owned by the Republican megadonor Sheldon Adelson. And he is a megadonor, big, big supporter of President Trump. Several more Republican senators, led by Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, just reelected easily, and John Thune of South Dakota, said, yes, President Trump should immediately let Biden receive classified intelligence briefings. Trump privately pressed advisors about the possibility of Republican state legislatures appointing their own electors to vote for him in the Electoral College, bypassing voters' wishes, but it was not a detailed conversation. One of the problems, by the way, with that plan, if anyone is even thinking about it, and I know their voices on talk radio, they say, oh, that's a great idea. It's a ridiculous idea because in many of the states, you can't submit the electors and have them as certified electors for your state without the governor's approval. And in many of these states, like Pennsylvania, for instance, and Michigan, for instance, and Wisconsin, for instance, all of which Trump is disputing, those states all have Democratic governors. They may have Republican legislatures, but they have Democratic governors. So what we're asking for here is confusion, and the American people deserve better. If you take a look at some of the other news, Detroit just announced its public schools will shift to remote learning until January. Struggling public schools in Detroit, but now the remote learning till January. New York City is considering closing all schools. Biden's team, says the New York Times, is concerned that the lack of a transition will hinder its virus response. Biden's advisors say they do not have access to the details of Operation Warp Speed, the White House project to create and distribute a vaccine that the president was talking about. And yesterday, in our great country, there were more than 160,000 new coronavirus cases. That was an all-time record for one day. And it's set to get worse. So what is the Democratic mandate that Nancy Pelosi is talking about, if any? We'll talk about that with Professor Paul Kengor coming right up on the MedVed Show. This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Rovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com. Right now, at this moment of crisis, a lot of people have a lot more on their minds than just normal aches and pains. But I'll tell you why dealing with those normal aches and pains is so important. Because one of the things you need to do to strengthen yourself, to help face all of the challenges that are out there, is regular exercise. And if you're hurting, if your legs or your feet or your arms are hurting, you can't do it. Relief Factor really can help. The three-week quick start is here to stay. It's discounted all the way down to $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. There are no drugs, no chemicals, just good, helpful stuff. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Call them directly, 800-500-8384. Go to michaelmedved.com and click on the banner. That's michaelmedved.com. Click on the banner or call 800-500-8384.
Attention business owners, body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, Please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REAL-WTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REAL-WTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, a pleasure to talk to my friend, Dr. Paul Kangor, distinguished academic at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. One of the centers of the electoral conflict we just underwent, and Paul really is one of the leading lights at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, where you can find out and get all kinds of free information and great speeches and more by clicking on their banner at our website at michaelmedved.com. Paul, I wanted to ask you about Nancy Pelosi's comments yesterday, which I just played a little bit of, where she not only said that Joe Biden won a great mandate, but he won a mandate greater than John F. Kennedy, that he won one of the greatest mandates ever. Now, you're a political scientist. What is his mandate? What is it that the American public said they want him to do?
Yeah, well, you know, Nancy Pelosi just drives me crazy. She just says these things, Michael, you know. I also saw in the last couple of days, somebody pointed out that, if this was a progressive, a liberal, that, Joe Biden has, this is the biggest margin of victory, the first, challenger to get over 50% since Reagan, right? This matches Reagan's total in 1980, which I think they each got about 51%. But as you remember, Reagan beat Carter 51-41. I mean, John Anderson got like 10% of the votes. And
yeah,
by the way,
yeah, he got 7. But the point is, Paul, I think there's no doubt she's talking about a mandate to do something. With Reagan, we knew what it was he planned to do. What do you think people actually voted for in terms of policy? Did they vote for one particularly popular Joe Biden policy, do you think?
Yeah, one last thing on that. Reagan won the Electoral College in 1980, 489-49. But no, in Biden's case, I mean, this is what's frustrated me so much, Michael. I think, and liberals are going to hate to hear this, but you know what truly won this election for Joe Biden? Hate. Hatred of Donald Trump. And as I sit here in Pennsylvania and I try to figure out how in the world Donald Trump could have possibly lost Pennsylvania, and I got a long piece on it in American Spectator today, Real Clear Politics posted it too. I do not see how this happened. And the only thing I could figure, if Joe Biden indeed got 10 million more votes than Hillary Clinton did, from 66 million to 76 million, I mean, there was no enthusiasm for the guy. They weren't voting for policy. They were driven. It looks like in Pennsylvania we have at least 450,000 votes that have only Joe Biden checked and nothing else. So you had a lot of people that ran to the polls apparently just to vote against Trump. So I'll give you
more proof of there's more proof of that, which is if you look all over the country, there were Republican senatorial candidates. There were Republican candidates for governor, Republican candidates for state legislature, who did much better than President Trump. There were literally millions of voters who voted for Joe Biden, and then they turned around and they voted for Joni Ernst, or they turned around and they voted for Susan Collins. Trump lost Maine big time, and Susan Collins won by almost 10 points.
Yeah, it's
so
amazing.
There were go ahead.
Yeah. And here in Pennsylvania, it looks like Donald Trump is going to increase his total votes in Pennsylvania by 400,000. That's 2.9 million to 3.3 million. So anybody, if they had told that to Trump and anybody 2 weeks ago, had been like, oh, well, we're going to win Pennsylvania by 10 points. But Biden got, at the most recent count, about 470,000 more votes than Hillary Clinton did. And in places like Erie, PA, which I don't know how, I mean, I do not know how, but Joe Biden won Erie, PA. It must just be a profusion of voters who so hated Donald Trump that they said, we'll vote for the local dog catcher if he's got a D beside his name.
Do you remember how Trump began his rally speech when he came to Erie? I've always been fascinated by Erie because it's that little tiny corner of Pennsylvania that's on Lake Erie. And so that allows Pennsylvania to claim to be a Great Lakes state, which it really isn't. But okay. So he began his speech at Erie by saying, I didn't really want to come to Erie. I didn't want to have to come here. And do you remember that?
And, I do.
Which, who knows? People with local pride may not have loved that.
Well, there were people there. I know people who were there who said that they literally didn't have enough bus trips back and forth to bring people to the Trump rally. And Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton in Erie by 2% in 2016. Now, Erie has always been heavily Democratic, so that was a major switch. Well, right now, Trump's losing to Biden in Erie by 1%. And this is amazing. I know these are a lot of numbers, but Hillary Clinton got 54,000 votes in Erie in 2016. Michael, Joe Biden is getting 68,000 in Erie. I mean, from 54,000 to 68,000?
It's just a much bigger turnout. And again, you said this is based on hatred of President Trump. I think it's something equally intense. It's not hatred, it's fear. And part of I think a lot of voters were saying, not the ones who marked Biden on the ballot and then nothing else, but the ones who marked Biden on the ballot and then voted for Republicans to maintain control of the Senate, for Republicans to increase their margins in the House, for Republicans to gain a governorship. What they're saying is we like Republican ideas. So let me ask you this.
Right.
With this muddle that we have, with no real Democratic mandate, I mean, it's really unclear. Yes, they want him to take care of the virus and to unify the country. Got it. But in terms of actual legislation, couldn't Mitch McConnell, as Senate Majority Leader, help to lead with a conservative Republican agenda?
Oh, I think he could. And also, too, I mean, bear in mind, you know, Joe Biden and Mitch McConnell go back many, many years in the Senate. And I really think here that Joe Biden would probably prefer to work, frankly, with Mitch McConnell than he might with Nancy Pelosi, certainly an AOC type. I don't know
or
who the Democratic
Schumer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right. I think he would get along better with Mitch McConnell than he would Chuck Schumer. Now, the key is going to be whether or not Biden has the the stamina, you know, the mental and physical wherewithal to hang in there for 4 years, because I'll tell you, Kamala Harris certainly is not going to get along with Mitch McConnell. And a lot of us were hoping that the threat of Kamala would scare enough people into not voting for Joe Biden. But the fear factor for Joe Biden wasn't as bad as it was with Hillary Clinton. I mean, Donald Trump was able to pull it off apparently in 2016 because he and Hillary Clinton were the two most unpopular politicians in America, who somehow both get their party's nominations of all things. Was just unbelievable, but Hillary was absolutely loathed,
a lot of people felt they could vote for Trump because he had no chance. You may remember that
there was
a sense that you didn't have to vote for Hillary because she was going to win anyway, and people were resigned to that. This time, I think there was a better sense, despite the fact that the polls were wrong again in underestimating Trump's strength. This time people knew that everything was on the line, that Trump could have won this election, and it wasn't such a landslide as the polls had predicted that you could say that he couldn't win the election. One of the ideas, I was talking to George Will about this. He thinks one of the things that Biden and McConnell could lead with together is an infrastructure package. What Trump talked about, which is very popular, wouldn't that be popular in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, probably so. And I mean, what Biden has got to do, Michael, I mean, he's got to assuage and convince people in Western PA that he doesn't want to ban fracking and that he doesn't want to do what he said he was going to do at the end of the second debate, which is transition, as he put it, you know, out of oil and into some sort of, I mean, a lot of that language in the second debate, that was Green New Deal language, including that remark about rebuilding infrastructure, which might thrill certain union people like Richard Trumka, who's with the AFL-CIO, but which scares to death the fracking industry, the steelworkers union. So, I mean, looking at these numbers, these overall numbers, I believe, is this correct, Michael? I think Trump got maybe 10 million more votes nationally than he did in 2016.
And it's not quite that, but it is just a huge turnout. And that's a good thing. May people continue to be involved. But one hopes not involved out of fear, not involved out of hate, but involved out of love for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statement, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.